Welcome once again. Today we're going to be continuing our little study on figurative language, and today we're going to begin with the purpose of figurative language. Why use it? Why is it in the Bible? Well, I'm going to look at some answers to that taken from a book by McQuilkin on understanding and applying the Bible, some helpful hints, and he listed the following. He said that the purpose of figurative language is to emphasize a point. For example, the Pharisees told Jesus that he had to leave because Herod wanted to kill him, and Jesus' response was, "You tell that fox." Now, Jesus knew that Herod wasn't a fox, but using that terminology, that figure of speech, it wasn't to be taken literally, it was figurative, it's much more forceful and colorful than to just say, "Tell the king." There are lots of examples like that in the Bible. Another purpose of figurative language is to exhort someone to action. And sometimes when an exhortation is placed in, made in with figurative language, it kind of emphasizes the point. It makes it stand out. For example, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Now, that's also a way to make an exhortation, but it gives the mind's eye an image to latch onto. You can almost picture Jesus outside the door of the church at Laodicea knocking, trying to get in, and nobody was paying any attention. So sometimes figures of speech, like visualizing someone knocking on a door, helps to make an exhortation. Another purpose of figurative language is that it can be used to aid the memory. Some colorful expressions that people use even today in the secular world, a lot of them come from the Bible, and they may not even realize it. But they're easy way to remember truths. For example, don't hide your light under a bushel. And that's a picture, a visualization. And it helps you to remember, you can picture it in your mind, and it helps you remember the words. Or the expression, be a good Samaritan. That's used by lots of folks today who don't even believe the Bible. Or you might say that someone is the salt of the earth. There's another figurative expression that comes from the Bible that is an easy way to remember something, and that will bring the truth back to our mind as well. Or you might say, as Daniel said in his speaking of the vision, that he said that it had feet of clay. And that's an expression a lot of people use today to say that someone is really vulnerable or they're not in a safe place, they could easily crumble. And so this is also, these expressions are aids to the memory. It's a clever way of saying something, and it helps us to remember the point made in that passage. Another reason for figurative language is that it effectively illustrates truth. You know, when you say that Jesus is the bread of life, that's an illustration that conjures up all kinds of thoughts, that he sustains us, he's our food. And you could say that Jesus is the light of the world, another expression from the New Testament. And that also illustrates for us a truth about Jesus, that he is light and truth, and he guides us and directs us by shining light and exposing things that we might want to avoid. So a lot of things are conjured up by illustrations that teach a literal truth. Or the Bible also says that the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. And you know that concept of leaven that slowly and gradually corrupts until the whole loaf is corrupted. And so this figurative language helps illustrate truths, and it brings it to mind, and it suggests a lot as well. A lot of things could be conjured up in our mind as we think about leaven and the process of corruption that takes place when something is fermenting or rotting. Another reason, another purpose for figurative language is that it helps to clarify truth. For example, sometimes simple truths are used to illustrate a more complicated truth or a more complicated subject. For example, it might be hard to teach a child how many descendants Abraham would have. But if you live near the beach, you could tell him as many as all the sand on the seashore. And that's a figurative way of clarifying a truth, or as many as the stars in heaven. Those were not intended to be exact numbers, but rather they were used to help clarify just how big the number really is. Sometimes familiar themes can be used to teach some unfamiliar truths. For example, how much blood will be spilled in the end times? Well, John likens it in the book of the Revelation to a wine press that's trodden down, and you can visualize that with the grapes and the red, picturing blood just splattering everywhere. Or maybe the fact that God is spoken of as our Father. And so this human relationship helps clarify our relationship with our Heavenly Father. He also described another purpose of figurative language. He said it's used as a code. I'm not sure I'd use that word to describe figurative language, but I know what he means. For example, in Matthew chapter 13, the disciples said to the Lord, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" And Jesus answered them, and he said, "Because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." So the parables that Jesus spoke had two purposes. It would reveal truth, or rather illuminate truth, to those who really wanted to know truth, but that to those who didn't believe and didn't really care about truth, it would make the truth even more complicated and more confusing. So it served a double purpose there. And we see something similar in prophecy as revelation. There were some prophecies that were made in the Bible that by using a figure of speech, it hid the understanding of that truth at the moment, but later on, it made it clear. For example, in John chapter 2, Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And everybody there thought he was talking about the temple in Jerusalem. But Jesus, it says, he spake of the temple of his body. And so he was using a temple to illustrate his body. And he said if his body, what he meant was, ultimately, if his body would be destroyed, he would raise it up in 3 days. It was a prediction of his resurrection. But at the time, not even the disciples understood what he meant, but it says, after he rose from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them. So then it was clear after the fact. So here we see a figure of speech that was used to hide some truth temporarily, but at the right time, it was made known to them. Now, literal method of Bible interpretation acknowledges figures of speech. And there are other forms of figures of speech that we'll look at perhaps in our next little soundbite, allegories. But for now, we just have we've got a little better understanding of the many different kinds of figures of speech that there are in the Bible. And you know these figures of speech? You and I use them every single day. We use figures of speech without even realizing that we're doing it. It's a common way of expressing truth. And it's used in the Bible as well. So we shouldn't be surprised to discover that the way God communicates to us in His Word since he really wants us to understand it, it's the same way we communicate to each other in everyday speech and in any other piece of literature that we might read. So read the Bible and keep your eyes open and ears open for figures of speech that you see along the way, and then stop and think about why was that figure of speech used and what literal truth does God want me to glean from it?